4CRB 89.3 FM, nice and easy on the Gold Coast.
Good morning. Welcome to The Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group. I'm here to answer your legal questions on 5520 8888 or you can email us on talkback@4crb.com. We have a call from David first. Good morning, David. What can I do to help you?
Good morning, Margaret. A little issue. I recently sold some property. I engaged the local solicitor to handle it, who employed a conveyancer to do the mechanical side of it, and it all went reasonably smoothly. But when I went to withdraw the funds from the bank as a residue left over from the mortgage, I was socked with a substantial bank fee for settlement. Now, I didn't get a receipt for this. I didn't get a statement. I didn't get a settlement statement from the solicitors. I've written to them and they not replied, and I've written to the bank twice, the big bank, and they're not replying either. Because I think that the settlement should have, the funds should have come out at settlement, and there should have been some mention of it in advance by either the bank or the conveyancer. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. I think if you're going to be closing down a mortgage account, the bank should tell you what the amount is that you've got to pay as a fee. Was it an early settlement on a mortgage, was it? You took out a mortgage and you paid it off before you had to do it?
Yes.
So it may well be that your bank had a fee, but they should most certainly have told you. The way to deal with this, I think, is to write a letter to your bank or email them and ask them for a response. Give them 7 days to reply, and if they don't reply within 7 days, then I suggest that you email them back and say, unless you get an explanation, you'll refer it to the banking ombudsman, which he'll be your white knight and he will make inquiries with the bank. I agree with you. It's a bit of a shock to find out you've got a fee after the event, but the banks are in the spotlight at the moment, and behaviour like this, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be unusual.
Worse than that, Margaret, I have no record of the funds being extracted. It was only a verbal in the banking chamber when I demanded the cheque. There was a lot of resistance.
Well, go to your bank and ask them for a final statement for your mortgage account. You're entitled to receive that.
Okay.
And the fee should be on it. So just check carefully, just to make sure it is actually a bank fee or it hasn't gone somewhere else.
Bank teller said verbally there is a settlement fee because I didn't agree with the figures.
Yes.
I already knew what the figures were going to be and so forth, but it's a whacking great fee. And I'm talking about several hundred dollars.
Well,
now, this is rubbish. A simple house sale, a simple settlement.
Bear in mind, though, that a release of mortgage fee, when they lodge the document at the title's office, that's a couple of hundred dollars now, almost.
Yep.
So it may well be that the bank fee is quite reasonable, but there's a government charge for the release of mortgage being lodged.
Right.
So
okay, well,
I'd ask them. I'd say, please explain, because in most cases they will set it out for you if you ask.
Yeah, okay, Margaret.
Thanks David.
Much.
We have a call from Robert. Good morning, Robert. How can I help you? Hello? Oh, we've lost
Robert. Good morning.
Are you there, Robert?
Good morning. Is that Margaret?
Yes, it is, Robert. How can I help you?
Yes. My question is, I'll give money every year to different charities. Now, the question is, if you give money to them, can they contest your will?
No.
Say that they were dependent on you?
No.
No. It's only when they are in the will you give them something, then it's all right.
It's only if you put them in the will that they'll get something. Under the Succession Act, there is a very clear list of who can challenge your will, and it generally is your spouse and your children and someone who is financially dependent on you who's normally a family member.
Yeah, okay, so no charity can contest the will.
No, but bear in mind, too, if you give donations to charity, that you can claim it as a tax deduction.
Yes, I know that I'll do that every year. Yes, yes, okay.
Thank you, Robert.
That's fine. Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
We might take a short break for a sponsor's message.
Have you been thinking of selling your property now the market's heated up? Then you need to call Lucy Cole Prestige Properties, the trusted name in real estate. One of their mature, licensed agents are available right now to help. Call them 7 days a week on 55-921-288. They're proud 4CRB sponsors.
Have you had your dentures for a while? Your dentures are like all man-made things and do need some maintenance from time to time and should be regularly relined and replaced. John Bromley's Denture Clinic offers same-day denture relining and are now able to achieve suction on the lower denture relines. That's right, lower dentures with suction that are stable and minimize sore spots. To book a consultation to assess your suitability, phone our sponsor John Bromley's Denture Clinic now on 55-232-555.
We're back to Margaret Miller with The Law and You on 4CRB, answering your legal questions on 5520-8888, or you can email us on talkback@4crb.com. It's been quite a while since I've been on The Law and You, and I'm here today because John Fradgley has decided to take a holiday. And he's heading north to Alaska and other points north, so he should be back in about 5 weeks. I'm sure he's enjoying himself tremendously. This follows a very busy law week last week, in which Bell Legal Group took part in the Gold Coast District Law Association Beach Relay and got a very creditable third. This is because we never practiced, whereas the two teams from OMB and Minter Ellison, their athletes looked absolutely fabulous and in top condition. As well as that, for Law Week last week, the Robina Community Legal Centre had a special information evening where we presented a family law information night on property settlement. Alex Wynn, our family lawyer at Bell Legal Group, presented it, and we stayed behind to answer questions from the audience, who were very engaged and very interested. Special thanks to Herman Vorster, the local councillor who arranged it all with Robina Community Legal Centre. I'm here to answer legal questions for you, but in the meantime, we've all received a huge shock as the petrol prices once again skyrocket, and we're told that the petrol stations, who are charging $1.60 a litre, are making 25% a litre on their sale. RACQ members are able to receive fuel discounts at Puma stations. If you present your RACQ card, you get 4 cents a litre off, which will give you a considerable saving. And further good news for consumers, Choice Magazine, which is a consumer group, a non-profit consumer group, has set up a Choice Transformer agency where they will find you the best deal for your electricity. If you sign up, there's a $99 a year charge, but what they will do is they will monitor your electricity charges throughout the whole year, and when there's a better deal around, they'll change your electricity account for you. And they do that all automatically. Apparently, there are people who are saving $300 a year and $500 a year. I mean, I know I get totally confused when I try and sort out the deals. They make them confusing on purpose. So it's a good idea for consumers, and it's nice to know that it's a reputable crowd like Choice that's doing something like that. I recently had an inquiry from a client about how to keep your motor vehicles secure. There's been a survey published that announced which were the most stolen cars in Queensland, and the Toyota Land Cruiser has toppled the Holden Commodore as the most stolen car. This is followed by the Ford Falcon, the Toyota Corolla, Toyota Hilux, Holden Commodore, and Nissan Patrol. And the good news for you is the worst place to have your car stolen is Southport. That's where most cars are stolen at the Gold Coast, and followed by Arundel. So if you are parking your car at these places, make sure you lock them securely. Don't leave anything valuable in clear sight, and just take care. We have a call from Joanne. Good morning, Joanne. What can I do to help you?
Hi, Margaret. Just got a question about my mother's will. There's three of us, three daughters, and my father died a few years ago, and my mum and dad got their will made up in Adelaide.
Yes.
And then my father passed away, and so his will got sorted. And now I've still got my mother's will, but my mother has since moved up to Queensland, but I've still got her Adelaide will, so it's got her Adelaide address and all of that. So I just wondered if that's a legal document in Queensland.
Yes, it is. A will is valid wherever you are. It doesn't particularly matter if she moved to Queensland. Has she passed away?
No, she's still alive and kicking, and no, she's fine.
I'm pleased to hear that. But, I'm pleased to hear that. If the will is still current,
yeah.
If the terms are exactly what she wants them to be, that's fine. But I generally recommend to clients that they look at their will every few years, and if they need to, they update them. So she may want to take the will along to a solicitor, have them look at it to make sure that it reflects what she wants, and if it's still what she wants, it doesn't matter if the address is different, because when you apply for probate, you can use the Adelaide will. All that would happen would be on the application, you would have both addresses, where she's living now and where she used to live.
Okay, and would that be done in Queensland, or does it have
yes.
to be done in South Australia?
Where's her property?
Oh, her new house is in Queensland, yeah.
You do it in Queensland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You do it where they reside. It's called the domicile rule. Generally speaking, you apply for probate where someone is domiciled.
Okay. Can I ask one more question? Or
of course. Of course.
So when she made the will, one of the sisters was in a not a very good marriage, so she only put two of her daughters in the will.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did a separate letter saying they also want the other daughter included in the will when the time comes. Is that a legal document?
No, she will have to make a new will to include the new daughter, but the third daughter could always make a claim against the estate in the event that she was left out.
Yeah, so she could just contest the will, and that would be easy enough to sort out,
well,
wouldn't it?
It'll cost money to do it, and the estate will run up big legal costs, so it's better to sort it out beforehand.
Right. Okay.
There are ways you can make wills to avoid problems with bad spouses, and you should probably see a solicitor for some advice about that.
Okay.
Thanks, Joanne.
Great. Thank you.
We have a call from Val. Good morning, Val. What can I do to help you? Hello?
Oh, good morning, Margaret.
Yes, Val, what can I do for you?
I just wanted to say about the petrol prices. I'm down Tweed Heads Way. And this morning I got petrol at the Freedom at the airport for $1.33 a litre. Now, in town, it's $1.57. In town at the Caltex and Shell, it's $1.57. And, like, I got it for $1.33, the E10 that I use. So I just want listeners to know that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Val. And the Freedom service stations up at the Gold Coast are equally cheap, so it's worth looking out for them.
Yes. That's all I just want people to know.
Thank you,
Val. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a call from May. Good morning, May. How can I help you?
It's May here.
Yes.
Thank you for taking my call. My son's father passed away in December, but he hasn't heard anything about the will, and he doesn't know who he needs to ask.
So
my son's father's wife will not say anything to him.
Well, the way to go, May, is for him to write a letter to the wife and ask who the executor is of the estate. It may also be useful for you, if there's been a funeral, to contact the funeral director and ask who the person is who arranged the funeral, and then you can write to that person.
I think it was all done by her.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
It was all done by the wife.
Well, in that case, your son should be writing to the wife and asking her for a copy of the will. And it might be better if he gets a solicitor to do it, because people pay more attention to lawyers than they do to ordinary people.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, May. We might take a break with one of our sponsors.
Are you buying a new TV? There are over 80 different TV models on the market right now. Daunting, isn't it? Brockies TV asks the right questions. We explore size options and bypass the jargon. There are three things to consider when buying a new TV. Is it a good picture? Is it easy to use? And does it fit our budget? Consider asking Brockies TV for advice. That's Brockies TV, 1-800-588-688.
Harvey Norman South Tweed deliver anywhere and they guarantee to beat any genuine competitor's price. And if you want good old-fashioned service, then Harvey Norman South Tweed is the place to shop. Their specialised staff will give you the best advice for your needs. With a great range of computers, furniture, bedding and electrical, there is no need for you to shop anywhere else. Why don't you go and see the friendly staff at Harvey Norman South Tweed? Because customer service is their priority.
Another sponsor.
It's Margaret Miller here with the Law and You on 4CRB, 5520 8888, or you can email us on talkback at 4CRB.com. You know that whenever I come onto the Law and You, I always have a little word about the Australian consumer law. And I tell you that you're entitled to a refund, replacement or rectification at your choice if there is something significantly wrong with something that you buy. A question that I always get asked is, how long should household appliances last? And you should look at the lifespan of washers, fridges, TVs and all your other appliances and decide whether you should repair or replace them. If you think that products don't last as long as they used to, you're probably right, because they make things more as a turnover and a replacement thing these days. How long should an appliance last, and do you know if you're better off buying one or repairing it? There are two ways to look at it. You should look at life expectancy and economic life. Economic life is the age where it makes more sense to repair it than to replace it rather than to repair an appliance. The estimates of economic life are based on advice from manufacturers generally. Or there is a question of life expectancy. How long do we estimate an appliance should last, given reasonable use and maintenance and minor repairs? It's based on results from surveys done by people like Choice, who look at appliances and every so often get consumers to tell them all about how long their appliances last and the problems that they have. There are results given in reliability surveys as well and from manufacturers, and it depends on the kind of appliance you've got. There are some appliances that are, you know, that last a lot longer than others, so it's worth looking at it. Now, with respect to appliance lifespan and the law, manufacturers are becoming extremely conservative when estimating life expectancy. But what does the Australian consumer law tell you? And I'm going to tell you because I always do. Appliances must last a reasonable time, or the retailer must cover the cost of repair or replacement in full. So if your $200 heater breaks down when it's into its second winter, regardless of what the warranty says, you're probably entitled to get a brand new one or a repair or replacement, as you wish, regardless of what the manufacturer says. But if it's a few years old, if it's 4, 5, 6 years old, you may be better off just getting yourself a new one and move on. Obviously, when you're buying $20 toasters, you don't expect them to last for 20 years. Now, if the damage is caused by the way that you've used it, if you've damaged it or you've used it inappropriately, you can't rely on the Australian consumer law. That's your problem. If you don't keep your clothes dryer lint filter clean and it overheats, that's your problem. So you'll have to bear the cost of repairing it yourself. If you drop your smartphone in the toilet, that's your problem. So you might have to deal with it yourself. Now, there is a requirement that if there are spare parts, they must be available for a reasonable period of time. And you know that this isn't the case for the simple reason that a lot of manufacturers will now simply replace an appliance if it goes down. And that's because it's cheaper to give you a brand new one than to keep the parts in stock. I suggest that when you buy an appliance, you should always keep your receipt. Take a photo of it on your phone, scan it into your computer, or stick it into the manual if it's a big appliance, because then you can prove when and where you bought it, you'll know what the warranties are, and you'll know how long the reasonable life expectancy of the product should be. Just as a case in point, I bought a PowerPoint thing that you plug all your appliances into, a power board. a power board, and the switch on it broke. So I looked it up because I normally put a sticker on the bottom of it with the date that I bought it. So I looked it up in my diary, saw I bought it from Dick Smith's, and it had a lifetime warranty. So I took it back to Dick Smith's 5 years later, and they gave me a brand new one. And they said, oh, my goodness, we're giving away free printers with this. So I got a free printer as well. It is definitely worth keeping your appliances. Now, we have one last call from Frederick. Good morning, Frederick. What can I do to help you?
Yeah. I'm ready for a question?
Yes.
Yeah. I understand when you make a will, you can actually do with your money whatever you want. But somehow there are some entitlement with family or children and so on. How can you stop actually any contesting?
Well, you can never stop people contesting your will because anyone can start court proceedings. It's whether they succeed or not is the question. Now, obviously, if you get good legal advice when you prepare your will, you may be able to head off challenges to your will. There are ways that you might be able to organise your estate so that it's not worth someone claiming. These are things that have become a really specialised area of law, and, you know, many solicitors specialise in what's called estate planning when they do wills. So, Frederick, if you have people who are hanging around the ridges waiting to make a claim on your estate, I suggest that you talk to a really good lawyer and see what you can do about it. Is there anyone in particular that you're worried about?
Yeah, the children can never look after me.
I'm sorry, could you say that again? You're a bit muffled.
Yeah, the children.
Yes.
They have no interest in my well-being. They're not hostile, but they're also not very friendly. So they're quite neutral. The attitude is you can do whatever you want, but I'm not interested in your affair.
Yes.
And that's a situation where I think I never did anything in my wealth or in my business achievements.
Yes.
And why should I put them in a will?
Yes. Well, Frederick, I think that in your case, because you've got children that you don't have a relationship with or they're not interested in what you're doing, you should go and talk to a lawyer to see how best you can organise your will. You know, it is a problem nowadays that children who are left out of wills regularly make claims against estates. So it's a good idea to get legal advice. I'm not a believer in people doing their wills at home themselves. I mean, I love them as a lawyer because I get a lot of work out of people who've messed up their wills. But the problem, of course, is if you do it with a lawyer, you do it right. And that's what you should be doing. I recommend, Frederick, that you go and see a lawyer as quickly as you can.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. This is The Law and You with Margaret Miller. It will be back again at 9 o'clock next week. It's our new early time, so you're going to have to get out of bed much earlier than you did previously. It's been a pleasure helping you with your legal problems, and I'll see you next week.